Hey, this is Neely Brosh. You're listening to Life Minute TV.
Guitar virtuoso Neely Brosh pulls no punches when she's not shredding the axe for Danny Elfman or Death Clock, or tearing it up in the Cirque du Soleil Michael Jackson show one. She's making beautiful music of her own. I caught up with her recently just before she hit the road on European tour to promote her fourth album, Eventide. This is a Life Minute with Neely Brosh.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Neely. Good. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Congratulations on everything you're doing. Another awesome album.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. Somehow it's my fourth album and more new genre explorations on this one. A lot of synth stuff, a lot of like retro stuff, some other, you know, flamenco influences, some Middle Eastern influences in there, a lot of different things with this one. Yeah, you know, just kind of continuing the journey with more melody.
What inspired all these different genres?
You know, I don't know. It always seems to end up that way. I get these melody ideas in my head and I sing them into my voice memos on my phone. And as I kind of hear them in my head and sing them to myself, I get a bit of a better idea of what kind of sound sonic area they seem to sit in, you know. So if it sounds to me like a melody that begs to be played on a nylon string guitar and have more of that kind of arrangement around it, then so be it, you know. I kind of let the melody not dictate but guide the arrangement and kind of think about what it wants me to do, what it wants to become, you know, and not to shove it into a different format, you know, where it doesn't belong. So
And you brought along some special guests on this one. Tell us about that.
Yeah, lots of great guests on this one. Lots of my bandmates, you know, from Death Clock, the creator of Metalocalypse, Brendan Small, who obviously plays guitar and does vocals in Death Clock and all the characters and everything. Not all the characters, but, you know, a lot of the main characters. It's his whole thing. He did a guest solo on Roulette, which I thought would be like a fun thing because it's a bit of like a fusion tune. And I always feel like he's such a great fusion player, but we don't get to hear that much from him, you know, because sits so like firmly in the metal world. So I thought that would be cool. Pete Griffin from Death Clock also played bass on a bunch of these tracks. And then a lot of my Danny Elfman bandmates are on some of the other tracks, such as Elon Rubin, Sydney Hobson on percussion, Irene Kim, who plays piano. So we have a lot of my personal friends and bandmates on this record. First music video is going to be out with it, Pastel Dreams.
Why do you work without words?
Because I don't really sing, you know, or I never really thought about singing on my stuff. And honestly, singing is not something that I'm opposed to. I just never felt like a lyricist per se, you know what I mean? And to me as a listener, lyrics were always, I hate to say it, but you know, kind of secondary. Like to me, I never really cared what the lyrics are. I could love something musically, even if I felt like the lyrics were really cheesy. It's a nice bonus when they're great, you know, but my ear has always gravitated towards the music first, whether it's sung or not. And as a guitar player, you know, I kind of feel like that's my voice, you know, I'm the singer in this, except I just try to convey those emotions on my instrument instead.
That's so cool. And it's so unique.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're so good. I love listening to you. I love listening to you and I love watching you.
Aw.
Synesthesia? You have that?
I don't, you know what? It's self-diagnosed. So I don't know how much I have of like the exact dictionary definition of that. But I've always felt like I do see certain colors associated with certain key areas or certain sounds or certain vibes, you know. It just, there has been some sort of a connection for me with that since I can remember myself, and it's maybe not like fully fleshed out and obvious, but it's there, you know. Even if it's a subtlety or even if it's not all the time, like it's something that I've just kind of noticed, and I wanted to convey that to everybody else, you know, how it kind of looks to me, especially with some of the tunes on this record.
Give us an example. What does it look like?
Well, I mean, I kind of really tried to convey it in the artwork and in the color schemes and all the visuals and things like that. And even in the title of the record, you know, like as an evening hour and dusk and the purples and the blues of everything kind of falling on that. It really sat in the direction in a lot of these tunes, like the title track, like Pastel Dreams and Take You On and everything. All those synths to me are so colorful, and they just kind of like, that's where I see them.
What happens when you're creating? Like, do you literally see these colors in your head, and that's, you know, what your fingers take you to?
I think it's more of a result rather than the process itself. You know, I think once the thing is done, or at least shaped out, and it kind of sits in a certain direction, or like the sound, it has a certain sound to it, then all of a sudden I start associate it with like, oh, this tune like seems to me like this kind of hue, you know, or mm-hmm. it sits in this color palette. And again, it's not something that I like really think about or spend too much time paying attention to. It's just kind of there.
And how many guitars do you have?
Oh, I don't know. I don't
know. That many,
huh? You know, I've had so many instruments like come through the door for one gig or another, and you know, there's always the next necessity for the next gig, and you know, I had a different endorsement before Ibanez, and you always need something else for different things. So,
well, tell us about
more than
Ibanez.
You see up here, you know.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But you have your first ever signature guitar.
Yeah, it's coming out in the summer. It's going to be available to buy in the summer, yeah.
From Ibanez.
Kind of crazy, yeah.
And why is it called The Answer?
Because to me, it's a very versatile instrument that I've been able to use for several different kinds of music and different gigs and stuff. And also the exclamation point inlays, you know, I feel like and every statement, I'm that person that writes every statement with an exclamation point at the end, you know, whether that's texting or musical sentences, it doesn't really matter. So to me, that's kind of another play on the name of like, you know, when you have an answer for something, I probably would put an exclamation point on it. So kind of a double meaning the instrument itself and the purpose of it, you know, being able to serve you in different kinds of music.
An RG signature model.
So an RG, the RG series is, you know, a type of Ibanez guitar that I think a lot of people consider synonymous when they think of Ibanez. They probably picture, that series. It's a certain body type, a certain neck. And in the last several years, you know, we haven't seen a lot of the signature models coming out being RGs. You know, we've seen them other model lines that Ibanez has, you know, because they have a very wide catalog. I've always been an RG player. I think people associate me with that, and I wanted to kind of put out my own take on it. So I kind of took that basic model and put in the variables that I feel like were my favorites.
So cool. And when does that come out?
So it'll probably, I don't know exactly when they're available for pre-order, but I know they're going to start shipping in the summer. So okay. You'll be able to buy one very soon.
All right. And you're taking this on tour too, right?
Yeah. So I'm going on tour in Europe to support my new album. And then I come right back for a Death Clock tour that starts in the middle of April with Amon Amarth. And we're going to go all across North America.
How do you juggle all of that?
I don't know. That's a very good question, you know. I have every day scheduled out, you know, between now and when I leave, and just a lot of lists, you know, a lot of trying to make sure that I didn't forget anything, trying to be good at time management and more or less assessing how long something takes, you know. So with all the prep things that I have to do, I'm kind of always trying to space it out, and it's tough, you know. It's just like, it's blocks of time that you have to be kind of really mindful of. But I try to remind myself that it's always harder right before you leave. There's always more to juggle, even when I don't have an album coming out and interviews to do. But you know, when you're home, you're taking care of the home, you're doing other things. But you forget that as soon as you leave, existence is much simpler on tour. It's not to say it's easy. Traveling is hard, and playing is, every night has its own set of emotions to it. But in general, it's a lot simpler. You know, you don't have a million things to take care of. You're really just worrying about the show. So it's just trying to get to that point. It's always crazy right before you leave, and you're just like, how am I going to keep doing this? But then you leave, and then you're like, oh, wait, today really all I have is soundcheck and that show. I can focus on just that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not doing a million other things usually.
You're also in Danny Elfman's band, and
yes,
you also do Cirque du Soleil,
the
Michael Jackson one show.
Yeah, we'll be doing a lot more live stuff later on this year as well, you know, so I'm kind of grateful that right now it's one set of music at a time, sort of. At least it's not, we will have some crossover where I'm doing Death Clock and Danny on the same day at the same festival. But for
That's
the most
crazy.
Part, it's one set of music at a time, kind of. So,
do you ever, like, wake up and not know, like, where you are? Like,
yeah, I mean, but you know what? Like, sometimes I kind of feel like that at home, because it's like, I know I'm home, but again, it's just like, you wake up here and you still have all the list of things to do. If I wake up on tour and I just don't remember which state I'm in, it's not that big of a difference. It's like, oh, here's another hotel room. I feel like that, to me, is less disorienting.
Do you have to get into like a different mindset, whether you're on your own tour or Danny tour or, you know,
a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think it does feel like a little less responsibility when it's not your tour and you're not, you know, like it's all on you and you're the one that's calling every decision. And, you know, it's theoretically a lot easier when you're in somebody else's band and playing their music and providing for them and doing a good job. At the same time, you know, it's still just, I'm a perfectionist wherever I go, and I'm going to put the same amount of care into the show. So at the end of the day, it's not actually different whether I wrote the music or not, you know, but it's just,
right,
it's just a feeling of like a responsibility that is maybe just a feeling.
What's Danny Elfman like?
He's the best. He treats us so well, and he's so open and collaborative musically and very clear in communicating what he needs from us musically, and chill, you know, like no one's stressed out over there. It's a very chill pace of working and kind of no stress. He's really the best.
Cool. So tell us about your show. What are fans going to get when they see your show?
A lot of stuff from the new album, a lot of stuff from previous albums. Have a power trio from Europe with Andrew Scott and Werner Erklins. Hard-hitting live performance. We definitely plan to throw down, you know, and I'm going to do my best to emote these tunes as well as I can. So I think it's going to be a really fun bunch of shows.
Do you find a difference like between playing live and playing on your albums?
Yeah, I mean, live is always a little bit different, just, you know, from the energy of it being in front of people and it being moments that you're not going to get back type of thing, you know, where in the studio, it's, you can always do another take. You know, everything is controlled and comfortable, and all the environmental factors are again, controlled. So on stage, it's just, you know, it's a different animal. It's live. It's very live, or lack of a better word for it. It's spontaneous.
Do you ever mess up?
Of course.
I don't believe it.
Oh, well, you flatter me, but I wish that were true. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, God, you're the coolest.
Congratulations on your album.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.